As we just sang, love is the first fruit listed. And perhaps it could be said that when love is displayed, the rest of the fruits follow suit. Love is more than a feeling, it is an action. It is the greatest gift of all.
Thank you so much. My sermonette is about love, the first one that is mentioned in the fruits of the Spirit. Love is probably one of the most important things that we can think of as Christians that at least God has given to us. He, in a many well-known verse that we all know, got John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever so believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." This main verse that many of us young children and adults may know is mainly centered around love. It's the most important thing that God has ever given to us as his gift that we can either accept and know that he's given it to us. It's very important because he chose to give his son, his only son, for us so that we could live and have everlasting life. I'd like you all to think about this and just think about this verse. Even though it may be known to many of you, love is still very, very important.
Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy for the Lord is your strength."
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
You can be happy in many different ways. Mostly because you achieve something or something you have. But also the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy's definition is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, or a positive emotion or feeling. But what could spiritual joy mean? In Greek vocabulary, it is the first definition of joy is rejoice. Paul said in Philippians 4 verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice." The word joy is mentioned nearly 200 times in the Bible. If you are in a bad mood, you couldn't love or have peace, patience, or even be kind. Being joyful is something you must have as a Christian. Being grumpy or sad doesn't exactly show the fruit of the Spirit. Then we lose our joy, we lose our strength. So if you're smiling, make sure it's also because you're rejoicing in God.
Number 3 on the list is peace. It is a calmness that can be presented in our life even when things around us are chaotic. like a river that keeps flowing unaffected by what is happening on its shores. Please sing with us, "I've Got Peace Like a River."
Good morning, church family. Okay, the word peace is mentioned 420 times in the New King James translation of the Bible. That means that peace must be a pretty important thing to God. In fact, one important part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace, real peace, a type of peace that cannot be stolen from us. But what is peace? According to most dictionaries, peace is defined as freedom from disturbance, tranquility. Jesus came to this planet to make it possible for us to have peace. He said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And in John 14:27, he said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." But how can we receive the peace that Jesus graciously offers? The Apostle Paul tells us the answer in Romans 5:1. It says, "Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's it. We receive peace. When we are justified, or in other words, forgiven by faith, we receive peace, not by making it up with good deeds, but by faith in the Holy Spirit can do for us and in us. For example, think of the story of the adulterous woman. A woman who had been caught sinning was brought before the people to be stoned to death by a disturbed crowd. The Pharisees brought her to Jesus and asked him a tricky question. "What shall be done to this woman? According to Moses, she must be stoned to death. But what do you say?" Jesus masterfully answered and said, "He who is free from sin, let him cast the first stone." As Jesus bent down to write on the sand, the people were convinced of their own sins, and no one dared to cast a stone. Soon everybody left, leaving the woman and Jesus alone. Then Jesus asked the woman, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, Lord." Then Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I'm sure you would agree with me that she left in peace, right? Yes. This is not the type of peace that makes you rest in the thought that no matter how hard you try, you're never going to change your sinful habits, so you might as well sin in peace. No. The peace that Jesus offers is a type of peace that causes you to sin no more, a peace that comes from a thankful heart after being forgiven. Wouldn't you like to experience that transforming peace? Then come to Jesus today. Come to him as you are. He is the only one who can give you peace. On another occasion, when a woman was being mistreated because of her sins, Jesus told the story of a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other only 50. As they had no money to make the payment, the creditor freely forgave them both. Then Jesus asked the question, "Tell me therefore, which of them will love the creditor more?" The answer was, "The one whom he forgave more." Then he looked at the woman and said, "Your sins, which are many, have been..." Oh, wait. Many. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh yeah. Wait, what? Aren't you? Oh wait, no. Oh yeah, sorry, that's right. Then he looked at the woman and said, "Your sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There it is again. We receive the peace of Jesus when we repent of our sins and humbly ask Jesus to forgive us. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, we can always have a new beginning in Jesus Christ. That's why the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, and anyone includes you and me, he is a new creature." That woman had an encounter with Jesus. She was forgiven and therefore left in peace. Jesus wants to have an encounter with you. He's chasing after you because he loves you. Stop running away. Stop before it's too late. There was a thief who stumbled across Jesus many times in his life. He heard Jesus preaching when he walked by the synagogues. He heard his loving invitation when he spoke to the people in the streets. He saw him do miracles, but he kept on running away from him. He kept on stealing until one day he repented of his consequences. He reaped his consequences of his choices. He got caught, and he deserved it. Now he was sentenced to death by crucifixion. As he was hanging on the cross, he turned to the side, and there he was again. Yes, it was Jesus again. Even in the last moments of his sinful life, Jesus was there for him, willing to forgive him. His arms were still open to receive him. The thief was touched that day by the love of Jesus. He repented of his sins and received assurance of forgiveness. That ex-thief died in peace, a peace that could not be broken even by the most excruciating pain of the cross. Dear friends, the arms of Jesus are still open for you. Will you allow Jesus to forgive your many sins? Would you like to enjoy that peace that only Jesus offers? Then right there where you are, say this prayer with me. Tell God, "Dear God, I admit that I have sinned. I feel sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Give me your peace, that I may walk away from this place and sin no more." Do it. In the name of Jesus, our powerful Savior, God bless.
Patience is the fourth fruit, one that many people, young and old, struggle with.
Mighty child, the road to your life moves slow, filled with twists and turns, mysterious. If you take your time, you pray this rhyme, you will take your days more serious. If you're willing to wait, your work will be great. Be patient and do things right. If you're willing to wait, your work will be great. Be patient and do things right. To wait, my work will be great. With patience, I'll do things right.
Patience means...
Is this on? Patience means accepting delays or problems without getting annoyed or upset. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show all patience as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Patience means to me waiting even if a person is taking a long time without getting angry or annoyed.
There was a snail called Herbert who was so very slow. He caused a lot of traffic jams wherever he would go. The ants were always getting and the beetles they would fume. But Herb would always poke along and sing this little tune.
Kindness. It is often said that it is nice to do random acts of kindness. Instead, let's do an intentional act of kindness right now. Turn to the person next to you and say something kind.
Doesn't take long. No, it doesn't cost a thing. And there's no way to do it wrong. You can try it anytime.
You can burn it in your wand, and you can grow it in your heart, and give it out to everyone.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you find this, you will see the world's a better place. Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you try this, you could bring a smile to someone's face.
You can put it in your words.
Everything you say,
in the little things you do,
all throughout the day.
And you can share it with your neighbor,
and then you can share it to a friend.
And you can show your mom and dad
how the kindness never ends.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you find this, you will see the world's a better place.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you try this,
you could bring a smile to someone's face.
So if you see someone who's had a bad day, and you'd like to try and make them feel okay, just give a little kindness in your own way, because a little bit of kindness goes a long way.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you find this, you will see the world's a better place.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you try this,
you could bring a smile to someone's face.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you find this,
you will see the world's a better place.
Kindness, kindness, oh, whenever you try this,
you will bring a smile to someone's face.
Yeah, you could bring the world a better place.
Defines kindness as a quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. However, sometimes our hearts are hardened by anger, disappointment, or sadness. Like this Play-Doh, we become hard to mold. When our hearts are hardened, it is difficult for us to show kindness to others, and we become selfish and inconsiderate. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, we can read, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted." The Bible teaches us that we should be kind, just like my hands that need this Play-Doh and make it soft. Kind actions of a hug, a kind word, a smile, or a helping hand will make our own heart soft. Jesus showed us while on this earth what it means to be kind. Everywhere he went, he changed people's life by showing kindness just like him. Let us be the kind and color world in kindness, making it a better place.
Thank you.
The sixth fruit of the Spirit is goodness, and it's God's idea.
Bees make honey and it sure tastes good. Did you ever smell a flower? Well, it sure smells good. And you'd be good if you could see how good being good can be. Goodness, goodness is God's idea, you see. He tells us in the Bible how good being good can be. Did you ever have a dog that was good to you, or a friend that you showed goodness to? I hope that you've begun to see how good being good can be. Goodness, goodness is God's idea, you see. He tells us in the Bible how good being good can be. Just listen. So this is the end of the story I tell. If you do good, then you'll do well. I think by now we all agree how good being good can be. Goodness, goodness is God's idea, you see. He tells us in the Bible how good being good can be. Goodness, goodness is God's idea, you see. He tells us in the Bible how good being good can be. How good being good can be.
The sixth fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Now, what exactly is goodness? I'm sure we've all heard of the story of the Good Samaritan found in Luke 10:25-37. In the story, a Jewish man is attacked and left to die on the side of the road. A priest and a Levite walked by the dying man, but surprisingly ignored him. Eventually, a Samaritan came along, and although during those times, Jews and Samaritans were enemies, the Samaritan still helped the Jew. The Samaritan put the Jewish man on his donkey and brought him to an inn for treatment. He even paid for all the services on behalf of the man. Now, thinking back to that story, what did the Samaritan gain from helping a man in need? A man that was his enemy. The Samaritan knew that he wasn't going to get anything in return, yet he sacrificed financial gain and personal reputation to help the man in need. This is an act of goodness that can only be born from the heart of God. Most of us do something because we are expecting a reward of some sort. For example, when kids act nicely to their parents and do all the chores so that when they get something, their parents will say yes. And I'm sure we've all done that. Or it could also be when you're helping a friend in need, expecting them to help you back if you need help. This is not what true goodness is. The word good is used so frequently in our everyday lives that it almost loses its meaning. And some of you may think that an act of goodness is simply helping someone in need. Yes, that's right. But there is more to goodness. The Bible tells us that the word good means holy, pure, and righteousness. Goodness is an action of purity in heart, and it's not something we do for the sake of being virtuous. True goodness is not only a moral behavior, but it is also an excellence in character, which is only possible through God's grace and mercy. The life of Jesus Christ itself, it's the perfect example of goodness. He sacrificed his life to give us the gift of eternal life. In Matthew 5:16, it tells us, In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Bible doesn't just say that God does good things, but it says that God is good. It is who He is, and it will never change. God calls us to be filled with goodness from the inside out, being holy in what we do and say, because as Christians, we should have a heart that seeks goodness. Throughout life, we will meet people who are careless with their words and actions. Everything within us will want to fight back, but we must come to a point where we level our eyes at the deepest intent of our heart and ask, am I demonstrating God's goodness or my self-righteousness? By accepting Christ as our Savior, we gain the ability to be good people. The Holy Spirit within us is our guide to godliness, which will be reflected in the love and mercy we extend to everyone, even the ones we hate. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart. Luke 6:45. However big or small the act of goodness is, you never know how it may affect the people around you. Although it may seem that no one notices the goodness you've done, God does, and by showing goodness, we bring glory to God's name.
It's what?
It's impossible.
What?
It's impossible. Just please God, he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible.
It's what?
It's impossible.
What?
It's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He is. And He rewards those who seek Him.
Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. So today I will be talking to you about faithfulness. When I was told that I was going to do faithfulness, I thought to myself, wow, out of all the nine, this one. But only because I honestly wasn't sure what faithfulness actually was. Faithfulness is a term that, as Christians, we hear all the time. But what is it? What does it mean to be faithful? Well, the word itself says it, being full of faith. And what is faith? The perfect definition is found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith is placing full confidence in something that you have not seen, have not touched, or have ever heard of, as in the case that we will see now. In Hebrews 11, we are told of many examples of heroes in the Bible who showed faithfulness. Today, I want to focus on Noah. In Genesis 6, verse 9, the Bible tells us about Noah. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. I want to focus on the order of steps in this verse. Firstly, Noah was a righteous man. To be righteous means to be forgiven, to be right with God.
After this, Noah was found blameless, and finally he could walk faithfully with God. To be able to walk faithfully with God, trusting his every move, even when we can't see the road in front of us, we need to be forgiven and right with him. We will then be found blameless in the sight of God, and we will have that connection that allows us to trust fully. Noah had reached this stage in his relationship with God. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family." Friends, it is simply not enough to say, well, Noah built a boat and they lived. We need to know the circumstances at the time that God gave the orders. Up to this point, water had never fallen from the sky, and God's orders are as follows. Noah, I'm going to fill the world with water, but it's going to fall from the sky. So I need you to build a huge ark in the middle of the desert where there's no water, and make sure there's enough room for every single type of animal because they're coming too. Can you imagine what must have been going through Noah's mind? These were things that were unseen, unheard of, unimaginable. But as we read in verse 1, Noah had assurance about what God had told him, what he could not see, and confidence in what he hoped for, that he and his family would live. Noah's faithfulness had such a great impact on his family that it was reproduced in them, saving their lives. Their faithfulness in God saved their lives. Now to the practical part. Noah's faithfulness was shown by his actions. We read in Hebrews 11 that by faithfulness, in holy fear, Noah built the ark. Noah's faith in God's commands caused him to obey. He acted upon his faith. The way that Noah proved that his faithfulness to God was genuine was by doing exactly what God told him to do. Now, what would you do if God asked you to do something that you didn't like? Think hard and honestly. Sometimes something that goes against your personal preferences, something that requires you to step out of your comfort zone, would you be faithful to him just like Noah was? Would you? If the answer to this question is no, I invite you to have a daily personal relationship with Jesus. As you spend time with him, the Holy Spirit will cause you to be faithful. And just to finish off, I want to leave you with a verse in Ezekiel 36, verse 27, and it says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." That is the meaning of faithfulness. Amen?
Thank you.
Tenderly you care for me, you are there for me always. Lovingly you quiet me with the comfort of your grace. Teach me how to be just like Christ my King. Help me be gentle like Jesus, for he was humble, sparing, calm. Soften my heart, help me be gentle like Jesus.
Graciously, you said to me, I must not be rude or proud. Patiently, you lead me on. Help me follow you, my God. Teach me how to be just like Christ, my King.
to like Jesus.
A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. 2 Timothy 2:24.
Good morning, church. Have you ever wondered what gentleness means? The definition of gentleness actually means it's about the main word about gentleness is gentle. You don't be angry or mad at other people. You be kind and you use gentle manners. Gentleness comes from a state of humility. Therefore, someone who lacks gentleness is often prideful and easily aggrieved or feels need for revenge. In order to be gentle, we must not view ourselves as better than someone else. The message about gentleness, it's mainly about being gentle. Gentleness requires great strength and self-control. In Matthew 11:29-30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Colossians 3:12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." In Proverbs 25:15, it says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be water himself." In Psalms 18:35, it says, "Your gentleness has made me great." And 1 Timothy 6:11, it says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Remember to always be gentle like Jesus." Thank you.
Your word tells me I have a need to watch out for my soul. And every day it's clear to me I need your self-control.
My hands and feet are quick to move before I even know. So Jesus, make me more like you and give me self-control.
Lord, I'm needy, so I'm pleading. Be self-controlled, help me to be self-controlled.
I say words I shouldn't speak, hurt the ones I know. On mornings when I'd rather sleep, I need your self-control.
When I am told to sit for hours and time goes by so slow, I need the Holy Spirit's power to give me self-control.
Lord, I'm needy, so I'm pleading. Come and fill me. Help me to be self-controlled. Help me to be self-controlled. So I'm pleading, come
self-control. Lord, I need thee, so I'm pleading. Come and fill me. Help me to be self-controlled. Help me to be self-controlled. Help me to be self-controlled. Help me to be self-controlled.
What is the last fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:23? Anyone? That's right, self-control. So what is self-control? Self-control is the ability to control one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult situations. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:27-28, that it is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to search out matters that are too deep. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. So a city without a wall is in peril. It has no protection. A man's spirit is what he is. If he loses control of the spirit, he has lost control of himself. The spirit of a man must control the flesh, or man will go the way of the flesh. The Bible has many examples of people who had self-control and people who didn't have self-control. When I think about self-control, the first thing that comes to my mind is certainly not kids under the age of 10, or 15, or 20, or 25, or 40, or 50, or even 70. Self-control is hard no matter what age you are. And yet, the Bible has a lot to say about this fruit of the Spirit. How do we even begin to cultivate a spirit of self-control? Here is a story in the Bible of someone who had self-control. This is about David and Saul. Saul was running around trying to kill David, and David had spent many days, nights, and weeks in hiding. Someone had told Saul where David was hiding, so Saul rushed over to where David was hiding to kill him. David actually happened to be hiding in the cave that Saul was sleeping in. So David crept up to Saul, and he cut off the edge of his robe and left the cave. David could have killed Saul. He had every right to, but he refused to kill the king God had chosen and had self-control. The reason David had self-control is because he feared God and respected God's choice of king. Could it be that just like wisdom, the key to gaining self-control begins with fearing and loving the Lord? Like many of us, David also lost the battle for self-control at times. David and Bathsheba. Yes, most of you would be familiar with this story. David had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed because he was in love with Bathsheba. David committed adultery, but after he married Bathsheba and realized what he truly did, he repented. God forgave him. However, there were still consequences to follow. David's newly born son died of an illness. The reason he did not have self-control was because he gave into what he wanted, losing sight of God's ways. And I don't know about you, but a guilty conscience is definitely one of the worst feelings for me. This story links back to, if man does not control the flesh, man will go the way of the flesh. Some things I personally struggle with self-control is how much time I spend on my phone, limiting how much money I spend, and when it comes to sugar, self-control isn't even in my vocabulary. Yet. Everyone struggles with self-control, and all our struggles are different. But don't get me wrong, you can still overcome that struggle. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." See, it's that simple. Submit yourself to God and try overcoming this struggle with God. It might be hard at first, but you will get there eventually. Remember Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And two more powerful prayer promises to use in your battle and self-control. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by our might, nor by our power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And finally, in Philippians 4:19, our God promises to supply all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So, church family, go out and conquer this with God.
Of the spirits.
The fruits of the spirits are gifts. These gifts are seeds that God grows inside of us to show others what he looks like. They are seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All are things Jesus modeled for us to show us what it looks like to show love, have joy, to be patient, and so on. And the good thing is that when we accept Jesus to come the Lord of our lives, God plants those seeds inside us and they begin to grow. Think about how each of these fruits can grow in your life. Please sing and stand with us for our final song, Fruits of the Spirit. May it remind you and help you grow in Him.
May the church please stand for the song.
If love was a pomegranate, I'd want to grow so red I'd color the entire planet. If joy was a tangerine, I'd want to feel it be the orangest you've ever seen. If peace was a pear, Lord, make me juicy and delish would be my prayer. Holy Spirit, grow your fruit in me. Your fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'd want to ripen until purple I become. If kindness was a banana, I'd want to be a bunch as massive as Montana. If goodness was a cherry, a yummy pie to all my neighbors I would carry. Holy Spirit, grow your fruit in me. Your fruit is kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If faithfulness was a watermelon, I'd be so luscious, juicy, green, and big enough to dwell in. If gentleness was a kiwi, the Lord would peel my top brown skin so I'd be squishy. If self-control was an apple, I'd want to turn all red and shiny in a snapple. Holy Spirit, grow your fruit in me. Your fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Please close your eyes for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the fruit of the Spirit. We ask that you may help us live each quality of the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to show love and joy. Help us to have peace and show patience and goodness. Lord, help us demonstrate faithfulness and gentleness. And finally, help us to have self-control. Please help us show others your love by teaching us ways and growing us as your children. Please help us, Lord, to show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in the various situations you put us in. Help us to use the fruit of the Spirit to show others what your love looks like. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.